Welcome to Red Journal Radio Show. I'm Salita, and I would like to stimulate your mind and encourage you to step out of your comfort zone with news, information, stories that will inspire and motivate you. Again, welcome to the Red Journal Radio Show. Good night, everyone. Good evening. I am so sorry. I want to totally, first of all, apologize to you guys. Red Journal Radio Show is an hour late showing up and getting started. I had a meeting I went to tonight, and I didn't think that it would take that long, but it did. So I thought it would be nice if I would just kind of set the time back some more. And that's what basically why we're just coming on at 9:30 Central Standard Time. Now, I'm going to try to do the whole show, the whole 2 hours. If I don't, you guys, please don't be disappointed because we have plenty more time to get the rest of this out. But I enjoyed last night. Last night was an awesome show. All the shows so far, these episodes have been great. I've really enjoyed myself. If you have any comments, you can call 347-677-1749 if you're interested in commenting on anything or any feedback on what we're talking about. Well, I know you're saying, well, where is her guest? She doesn't have guests yet. I don't have guests yet because I want to try this first to see if I'm going to continue doing it on the basis that we've been doing it. I am so excited about tonight. I am so excited about anything that I do when it comes to Blog Talk Radio now. I had to change, look at my perspective and see what, you know, I had to look around me and see what I could do with this radio show, and I love what I'm doing, and I hope you guys are loving it too. And if you cannot hear it right now or you're not listening to it, you can always go back and listen to the shows. And that's what I love about being on here. Red Journal Radio Show. I don't know if I introduced myself tonight to all my new listeners. The name is Salita, and I am so glad to be your host. And again, I want to apologize to my listening audience for being so late in coming on, but circumstances happened, and I was late. Okay, as you know, tonight's episode, we're going to be discussing Don't Let Anxiety Hold You Back from Living Your Dreams and the 8 Negative Attitudes of Chronological Unhappy People. And then we're going to also talk about the epidemic of insecurity. Then we're going to continue with our conversation, our discussion on how to make it big in a seminar business, which is so weird because tonight I actually went to a webinar, and I saw so many things from what we were reading, I mean, what we were talking about and discussing the book, and it just, like, popped in my head, oh, my God. So I had to, like, kind of calm myself down and say, oh, my God, I all these great ideas were going in my head, but I know I have to take my time, be careful, putting my hands in everything and touching this and touching that and not being able to complete it. And seeing how much time is going to take up of me to do those type of different ventures is what they call them. So I'm going to sit back and wait on that for right now until I make the decision what I want to really truly do. Okay. We're going to start with something that I think is going to really key into what we're talking about later on in the show. And the subject is don't let your anxiety holds you back from living your dreams. And, you know, a lot of us do worry about not being successful. We worry about things not working out. We worry about the idea of are we selling or are we not. I know that feeling. Okay. And this is an article that was posted by Melanie Greenberg, PhD. And the name of her book is The Mindful Express. Article or white paper or whatever. It says, does anxiety lead you to hesitate and second guess yourself? Yes. When do you think starting of a new project or going into a group situation with people you don't know? Do you feel butterflies in your stomach or a sense of dread? Do you come up with lots of reasons not to do anything to do a potentially fun or profitable activity that has some degree of risk? We were just talking about that, like joining a hiking club or volunteering volunteer organization, posting your dating profile online, getting fit, starting your blog, or turning your hobby into a small business. Do you do tons of research but not take the next step to turn your ideals into action? Yes. If this is you, anxiety and excessive caution may be getting in your way and stopping you from going after your dreams and living a more meaningful and fulfilling life. Okay, avoidance feeds on itself and makes you less confident, while getting started and taking action creates a positive cycle that naturally helps your anxiety go down. But where do you begin? The strategies below provide a roadmap for moving forward and taking the first step toward the life you long for. Now, it says the first strategy is don't wait for your anxiety to go down. Your anxiety is likely wired in as part of your temperament and won't just go down on its own. Our human brains are hardwired not to like uncertainty, unpredictability, and change. Some of us just anxiety prone by nature. However, when you take action towards your goals, despite the anxiety, and you actually survive the experience, your brain begins to label uncertainty as less dangerous. Over time, you build a sense of self-efficiency. You begin to see yourself as someone who can take action and be successful even when you're feeling anxious. It says, next strategy is set a realistic goal that makes sense for you. We all have different personalities, temperaments, and preferences. We don't all want to be lawyers, have hundreds of friends, run marathons, be super skinny, and live in a mansion. Anxiety makes you see yourself as less talented, lovable, or competent than others. When you think of moving forward, if you don't really know yourself, you may set a goal to be like your friend or neighbor, to do what is socially accepted or what others expect of you. It's very hard to remain committed and follow through on difficult long-term goals, especially if you're not really passionate about the activity. Rather than thinking about what you should be doing, take a look inside and ask yourself what you really want. And I think that is so to the T of what we do as people. I mean, somebody did a very good job in describing us who deal with anxiety in that way. Perhaps you're a creative person and want to travel, have life balance, live healthier, or find a caring partner. Whatever it is you want, figure out what is the easiest thing you can do to get started. Phrase your goal specifically. Walk for 20 minutes 3 times next week. You can't climb a mountain all at once, and you're more likely to achieve your goal with intrinsic, coming from the inside, motivation than when you're just trying to please others. It says trust the process. As Martin Luther King Jr. had said, faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. That's a very good, I like that. Even if you don't have faith to begin with, faith will come if you just take the first step. The more you take action, the more likely you are to have some successes and begin to trust yourself, the process, or the universe. I often start writing a blog post, not knowing exactly what I'm going to write. I've learned that if I have a genuine intention to help my readers and a message to share, then the content will emerge. As many writers will tell you, if you just start writing, the ideals will form and your creative masterpiece will take shape over time as anxiety diminishes and you're left with your story to tell or your genuine passion for the ideals you want to express. The same applies to other aspects of life, like starting a new job, project, relationship, or business venture. Anxious people tend to focus on what could go wrong and how bad it would be if you took a risk and got a negative outcome. What if you went on a date and the person turned out to be a jerk or they never called back? What if you invested a bit of money to start a business and it didn't work out? Or if you applied for a job and didn't get it? What if you changed jobs because you were miserable and found yourself in a worse situation? While you wouldn't want these outcomes, how bad are they really? Are they as bad as getting cancer or a family member dying? I'm guessing the answer is no. Could you survive them? Do you have coping skills you could use? Or could you just try again and take a different approach the next time? I'll bet you could. Anxiety makes you overestimate the risk of taking action. But what are the risks of staying stuck in a bad situation? Won't you regret not even trying to go after your dreams? Be your own cheerleader, not your own critic. Going after your dream is tough, and you will face inevitable obstacles and failures along the way. I know that is so true. But you don't need to make these barriers worse by beating up on yourself every time you do something that doesn't turn out perfectly. Many of life's important outcomes have an element of luck or uncertainty. We can control what we do, but we can't control market forces or what other people decide. You may speak up for yourself and get criticism and push back, but that doesn't necessarily mean you've done something wrong. Our brains naturally go to the negative because they are protection-focused rather than promotion-focused. To overcome these biases, you need to deliberately focus on the positive in any situation. Honor yourself for taking a risk, leaning into your discomfort, or just showing up when you wanted to curl up on the couch at home. You can't control the outcomes, so praise yourself for putting in the effort. You'll continue to stay motivated. And I really, really, truly, 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 really believe that, because tonight when I was invited to go to this meeting, I really wasn't going to go. Because I have had a real rough day. I don't want to say rough. It was just a little hectic for me today. I don't know why. And I was getting kind of drained in a sense. So I really was going to hesitate on going. And I said, you know what? I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and go to this meeting. And I'm glad I did, because I learned a lot. And it's something exciting that I wouldn't mind doing. But like I said, right now my hands are full. My plate is full, and I've got to not add more stress onto what I'm doing here than the other ventures that I'm doing. With these tools, you can begin to be the master of your anxiety rather than letting it master you. It's not a matter of getting rid of anxiety, which is likely impossible. Instead, you can choose to move ahead and keep taking constructive action despite the anxiety, thereby building resilience and self-confidence, and opening up new possibilities for a productive and meaningful life. It isn't easy, but it is definitely worth the effort, and I really, truly, 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 really, totally believe that. And that's how we deal with don't let anxiety hold you back from living your dreams. Only you can do that, and you don't want that to happen. Very interesting. Don't wait for your anxiety to go down. Set a realistic goal that makes sense for you. Trust the process. Curb the catastrophizing. And be your own cheerleader, not your own critic. And we do. We're very hard on ourselves all the time. Why? I don't understand why, but we are at times. And I know I am for myself. I know I can be very, very hard on myself at times when I don't necessarily need to. Now, before we go on to our next conversation or discussion, I want to get our recipe out of the way. I found another recipe for you people who don't have a lot of time. Matter of fact, this is even have this cooked in 30 minutes, and most of the time when I read these recipes, they're only 4 servings, so you know you have to double. If you have more people in the house, you have to double the servings, the stuff that you're making. Double the ingredients. Okay, it says stovetop tarragon chicken. It says that it comes from Tina Westover of La Mesa, California. You need 4 boneless, skinless chicken breasts, halves, about 5 ounces each. You need 2 teaspoons of paprika, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 package 10-ounce of julienne carrots, a half a pound of sliced fresh mushrooms, 2 cans, 10 3/4 ounces each, reduced fat, reduced sodium, condensed cream of chicken, undiluted cream of chicken. I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. 3 teaspoons of dried tarragon, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 3 small zucchinis thinly sliced. It says sprinkle chicken with paprika in a Dutch oven, heat oil over medium heat. Cook chicken 2 minutes on each side or until lightly brown. Remove from the pan, add carrots and mushrooms to the same pan. Cook, cover for 6 to 8 minutes or until carrots are crisp and tender, stirring it occasionally. In a small bowl, mix soup, tarragon, and lemon juice. Pour over vegetables. Return the chicken to the pan. Bring it to a boil. Reduce the heat to low. Cook, cover 8 minutes. Top with zucchini. Cook, covered 6 to 8 minutes longer or until thermometer inserted in the chicken reads 165 degrees. And vegetables are tender. It says it's 345 calories, 11 grams of fat, 3 grams of saturated fat, 85 milligrams of cholesterol, 649 milligrams of sodium. Ooh, that's a lot of sodium. 28 grams of carbs, 5 grams of fiber, 35 grams of protein. And in order to do this, if you're doing a diet, if you have a diabetic diet, it says you can change the chicken to lean meat and 2 vegetables and 1 starch and 1 fat. You can add that. Okay, and that's called a stovetop tarragon chicken. Very interesting. Great, great recipe. Okay, now what we're going to do right now, we are going to take a small break and we will return. Okay?
It's Thursday night, you're grabbing drinks with your friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Goat milk soap is wonderful for people with dry or sensitive skin or conditions such as eczema and psoriasis. Goat milk contains alpha hydroxy acids such as lactic acid, which helps remove dead skin cells from your skin surface. This leaves loose cells on the surface of your skin smoother and younger looking. Water-based soaps may use harsh chemical acids to accomplish this, frequently with skin damaging results. You can order a bar or two from Fat and Fabulous by Design, LLC.biz, a proud sponsor of the Red Journal Radio Show. right, you guys, we're back, and we're going to talk next about the 8 negative attitudes of chronically unhappy people. 8 negative attitudes of chronically unhappy people. Does anybody know anybody who's so unhappy no matter what they do? It's not enough. No matter what happens with them, no matter how many good things happen, they always find something negative and something to complain about at all times. I know people just like that. Okay, we're going to talk about the first one. It says that the self-defeating talk. Self-defeating talk are messages we send to ourselves, which produce our confidence, diminish our performance, lower our potential, and ultimately sabotage our success. Common self-defeating talks include sentences beginning such as, I can't, I'm not good enough, I'm not confident, I don't have what it takes, I'm going to fail. Would you like it if a friend tells you repeatedly that you can't succeed, you're not good enough, you lack confidence, you don't have what it takes, or you're going to fail? Would you consider this person a real friend? If not, why do you want to talk or think this way to yourself? Engaging in habitual self-defeating talk is like having a false friend who puts you down all day long. You become your worst enemy and detractor. And that is so true, because I've said some of these things to myself. And once it gets into your mind, sometimes you can't get rid of that self-defeating thought. And then you start actually living it. And that's what you want to avoid. Number two, negative assumptions. A prevailing form of negative thinking is to take stock of a situation or an interaction and presume the negative. For many people, this looking at the glass half empty attitude is habitual and automatic. One might look at a crowded commute, a rainy day, or paying the bills as an automatic negative experience. Of course, there's nothing inherently positive or negative about traffic, weather, or bill paying. As the saying goes, it is what it is. It's the way you choose to relate to your circumstances that makes the experience positive or negative. This choice can instantly make you stronger or weaker, happier or gloomier, empowered or victimized. Given the same situation, one might look at a crowded commute as a chance to listen to relaxing music or practice mindful breathing, a rainy day as an occasion to curl up at home with hot chocolate and a good book, or bill paying as an opportunity to practice the pay yourself first wealth building strategy. It's all in how you choose to relate to the moment. Now, let's see. I wanted to say, I don't do crowds very well, and it has a lot to do with my anxiety and my claustrophobic. So I don't really like doing crowds as much as I used to. I don't like being on a crowded public transportation. I can't do it, and that's why I drive. And plus, I don't live in a big town, so I don't have to, get on public transportation. Well, I live anywhere near it. I live in basically a rural area, so I'd have to drive anywhere I wanted to go or have someone drive me. Okay, number three says negative comparison with others. One of the easiest and most common ways to feel bad about oneself is to compare yourself unfavorably to others. We may be tempted to compare ourselves with those who have more accomplishments, seem more attractive, make more money, or boast more Facebook friends. When you find yourself wishing to have what someone else has and feel jealous, inferior, or inadequate as a result. You're having a negative social comparison moment. Keep that in mind. Research indicates that habitual negative social comparisons can cause a person to experience greater stress, anxiety, and depression, and make self-defeating choices, which that's what we do. Even though, you know, I hear people say, oh, I'm not jealous of that person, or I don't care what that person has, or I want, you know, and eventually it slips out. Oh, how'd you get that? I sure wish I had that. And you don't know, understand how that person got that. You know, you don't get that. But you just want it because you see them having it and you think that's what's making that person happy. But you can't. You cannot have everything other people have. It's just not meant for you. When your spotlight shines on you, you don't want anybody stepping in it. So why do we step in other people's spotlight? And when it's time for you to be blessed, you're going to get blessed. And you're going to be surprised at the blessings that will come your way, as long as you're doing what's right. Or another thing I say is giving back. Okay, number four says negative rumination about the past. We should learn from the past, but not to be stuck in it. Sometimes life circumstances and personal setbacks can haunt and prevent you from seeing our true potential and recognizing new opportunities. It becomes a stumbling block. What has already happened, we cannot change, but what is yet to happen, we can shape and influence. At times, the first step is to simply break from the past and declare that it is you and not your history who's in charge. Nothing is worth more than that this day. Don't dwell on the past. Make better choices today and move on. Wow. I like that. When it comes to certain things, you can't dwell on the past because the past is either going to teach you or you're never going to learn from the past. Some people need to learn from their past in order for them to see their future and to live in the present. If you don't do that, sometimes that's a hindrance. So some of this, I see where they're coming from in certain areas, but not for every situation do you dwell, that you shouldn't dwell on the past, because I really truly believe your past is what shapes you into your future. Excuse me. Number five says, disempowering beliefs about difficult people. Most of us encounter difficult people in our lives. In the face of such challenging individuals, it's tempting to believe that they are the perpetrators and we are the victims, or that they hold the power with their challenging behavior. Such attitudes, even if justified, are reactive and thus self-weakening. The key to changing your disempowering belief about difficult people is to shift from being reactive to proactive. Whether you're dealing with a narcissistic, a passive-aggressive, a manipulator, or an intimidating and controlling oppressor, there are many skills and strategies you can utilize to stay on top of the situation. Think about that. Number six, dare to blame, desire to blame. Blame can be defined as holding others responsible for our misfortunes. Some people cast their dysfunctional parents, negative relationships, or socioeconomic disadvantages, health challenges, or other life hardships as a reason for their unhappiness and lack of success. That is so true. While it's certainly true that life presents many difficulties and undeniable the pain and suffering they often cause, to blame others as a reason for one's unhappiness is to cast oneself in the role of the victim. Now, I see what they're saying there, but again, you want to overlook
the bad part, and you want to say, oh, I need to move on. I need to. Sometimes it's hard for people to move on. Sometimes people can't let go of the baggage. So that's when techniques on how to take little by little to get rid of your baggage, you have to learn how to do those things, use the different techniques. Because it's not easy to do this. This is not easy at all, especially when you've been doing it all your life, and mainly all your adult life. Okay? There are advantages to victimhood, as finger pointing provides convenient justification for life's unsatisfactory conditions and sheds the work necessary to take complete charge of one's own life and well-being. Now, you do have, that goes back to the chronically unhappy people. Some people love, they fit well in their misery. And some of them don't like being miserable alone. They need some help. So they come and they get in your atmosphere, and before you know it, you're being drained of all your energy dealing with these negative people. You have to shake them off. And some of them don't know they're being negative, and some of them, that's how they live. They believe in being negative. Okay? However, habitual blaming over time perpetuates bitterness, resentment, and powerless, as the victim suffers from what H.D. Thoreau calls quiet desperation. Often those who are the target of your blame have little idea or could care less about how you really feel. You only hurt yourself by being a prisoner of your own bitterness and resentment. Your feelings may be justified, but they will not help you become happy, healthy, and successful. Ultimately, isn't that what you really want? When we blame, we give away our power. Isn't that something? When we blame, we're giving away our power. Never thought about it like that. Now, number 7. It says the struggle to forgive yourself, and I think we all suffer from that. I really, truly believe we all suffer from forgiving ourselves for different things that have happened in our lives, different things we've done to other people, and then sometimes things that other people have done to us, and we feel like it's our fault. So we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. Now, all of us make mistakes in life. When you look back at your past deeds, perhaps there were decisions and actions you regret. There may have been unfortunate errors in judgment. You may have caused harm to yourself and or others. As you recall these past events, there may be an accompanying sense of self-blame at the blunders made, damage done, or opportunities missed. You might think of yourself as a bad or flawed person and wallow in your guilt. During these moments, it's extremely important to be compassionate with yourself. Knowing that now that you're more aware, you have a chance to avoid repeating past mistakes and to make a positive difference with yourself and others. Forgive yourself. Everyone makes mistakes, and mistakes aren't permanent reflections on you as a person. They're isolated moments in time. Tell yourself, I made a mistake, but that doesn't make me a bad person. Sometimes that makes me, that sounds kind of funny. I'm sorry, that sounds, I made a mistake, but I'm not a bad person. I killed that man, but I'm really not a bad person. That's what I think of when I hear that. I'm sorry. Okay. Number 8 says, the fear of failure and making mistakes. The fear of failure and making mistakes are often associated with perfectionism. at least in certain areas of your life. You may think that you're not good enough in some ways, thereby placing tremendous pressure on yourself to succeed. And I think all of this is so surprising that all of these are the same traits. They are all the same personality traits that we've been talking about all week. Man. While setting high standards can serve as an effective motivational tool, expecting yourself to be perfect takes the joy out of life and can actually limit your greatest potential for success. Multiple studies have shown the correlation between the perfectionism and happiness. Try as we might, it simply isn't human to be perfect, and certainly not all the time. Given the desire to be valued and appreciated, it's tempting to try to appear to be perfect, but the cost of such deceptions are high. How can you like yourself if when you don't measure up to a way you ought to be? Very interesting. Okay, that was the end of the negative attitudes of chronically unhappy people. Self-defeating talk, I can't, I'm not enough, I'm not confident, negative assumptions, negative thinking, negative comparison with others, negative rumination about the past, disempowering beliefs about difficult people, the desire to blame, the struggle to forgive yourself, and the fear of failure of making mistakes. And like I said again, all of these are definitely, personality traits, mental disorders, whatever you want to call them, that definitely kind of piece together everything we've been saying, and it's just like all this stuff is going around in a circle because it basically comes back to the ideal that is your mindset, how you think, how you feel about yourself, how to handle it, and how, you know, what to do next. Now, we're going to talk about the epidemic of insecurity. Okay. I think this is a very good conversation, very good discussion. And I want to say thank you again for listening in. This is Red Journal Radio Show, and I'm your host, Salita. And you know what? I got to take another break real quick. Okay.
We'll return with more Red Journal Radio Show.
Today in school,
I learned a lot.
In chemistry, I learned that
no one likes me.
In English, I learned that I'm disgusting.
And in physics,
I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic. In a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trapped.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one
In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
It's why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
My brother, he did me wrong. He put a gun up to my face, my money gone. I said, please don't be that way, I'm just trying to make it through the day. He said, you better not come down me before too long. My sister.
All right. I want to welcome you back to Red Journal Radio Show, and it's your host, Alita McCall. And what we're going to do is we're going to finish up with epidemic insecurity, and then we're going to come back with the discussion on how to make it big in seminar business tomorrow. Because I started late this evening, it's kind of gotten me off my little, I don't know what you want to say, my time box. So I'm kind of off a little bit tonight. So that's why I've been fluttering, talking, and messing up my words. So that means that's a sign that I need to shut it down early. Okay. So we got about 14 more minutes to go, and then we'll shut it down for tonight. And again, I want to thank you guys for listening in to Red Journal Radio Show. Okay, now let's talk about the epidemic of insecurity. Wow, trying to get your mojo back. Remember those good old days when you were a child and your parents used to always tell you how wonderful, great, and one of a kind you were? Oh, Lily knows her alphabet already. She's the smartest little girl. Jimmy is so good to help Granny with the chores. Isn't he the kindest boy you know? And Annie, in her new dress, is so lovely. When she grows up, she's going to be the most beautiful girl on earth. It felt good to hear that about yourself, like you could do anything and be the best at everything. Do you know why you were so confident and proud of yourself then? It's not because everyone said that you were the most perfect little human being. It's because you believed it. And then you grew up and grew a mind of your own. Let me guess, not so many people tell you now that you're the smartest, funniest, and the most good-looking person out there. And when they do, you don't tend to believe them as readily and completely as you used to as a little kid. And that is so true. I am not good with taking compliments at all. At some point in your life, somewhere in your mind, you started comparing yourself to others, the point where your self-esteem and belief in your world supremacy suffered its first blow. You may argue that a humble person is a paragon of integrity, and it's certainly so, but being humble is different from having low self-esteem. Modest people know their worth. They just choose not to flaunt it. On the contrary, those with low self-esteem may act and seem outwardly confident, yet feel and tell themselves that they are useless or no good, not good enough, forgetting to give themselves credit for their virtues and accomplishments. Such carping self-criticism is quite demeaning. And in time, its consequences get progressively more damaging. Wanting self-assurance fosters insecurity, which in turn breeds a whole host of unbecoming emotions and behaviors, anxiety, envy, depression, obesity, alcoholism, and other similar related disorders and phobias sprout as a result of low self-confidence. Wow, and that is so true. Our self-esteem is tried on everyday basis. And quite frankly, unless you're a complete narcissist or live on a deserted island, it's rather common and unavoidable. Prodigal celebrities, critical bosses, judgmental peers, successful neighbors, and overachieving siblings can all make you feel like you haven't done as well or accomplished as much. And as if there weren't enough causes for insecurity, here is one more. Believe it or not, it's Facebook. You may wonder why. And fitting title, Sweden's largest Facebook study examined a correlation between Facebook usage and the level of self-assurance as well as the psychological effects of the stated relationship.
The researchers found that prolonged Facebook uses negatively impacted the user self-esteem, with women being more affected than men, because there are over 1.39 billion monthly active Facebook users globally. The findings of this study reflect a truly alarming tendency. What does it mean to you? It means that the stressors are adversely impacting your self-esteem and triggering insecurity are countless and ubiquitous. And because you cannot avoid them altogether, you need to learn how to negate them. Don't let the little everyday things turn into nuisance that make you second guess your every move. Self-deprecate and devalue your worth. Here are a few small and easy to follow steps that will make a big difference in your life. Following these steps will help you combat your insecurities and strengthen your confidence in your own worth and abilities. Revise your self-talk. You're your own biggest bully and toughest critic, and it's not the world, but the voice inside your head that says you aren't good enough. Stop being so negative. Don't let your fears and doubts get the best of you. You need to practice positive self-talk. Recognize your achievements. Congratulate yourself on small victories and focus on how you can improve versus what are you lacking. Make a list of three things you do well each day. Do you come to work always on time? Check. Can you make a delicious dinner using a recipe? Check. Do you know how to show someone you care about them? Check. Fairly easy, isn't it? Everyone can find at least three things that are good, they're good at. So go ahead and list as many as you can think of. The small everyday things are actually the ones that really matter. I like that. Refuse to compare yourself. Your mother and those geneticists are right. We are all one of a kind of individuals. Our looks and personalities are unique, and so are our skill sets and circumstances. There will always be someone who is better than you at something, but then again, you might be better than others at something else. Comparison is a losing game that causes much disappointment. Refuse to play it. Set achievable goals and make plans to reach them. Big dreams and grand goals are great, and we should all have a couple, but reaching them takes a lot of time and effort. When you know that you're trying your best, but your goal is not much nearer when you just started, it's easy to become discouraged and give up before accomplishing anything. And I feel like that now on some situations that I'm dealing with. I feel that way right now. You need to be able to measure your progress to see it. So break those master plans into smaller stages with sub-goals for each stage. Set a realistic time frame for each stage and define a number of criteria for evaluating your success. This will allow you to measure your progression toward the bigger goal and recognizing and celebrating all of the smaller achievements will keep you happy and motivated. Wow. Prioritize what's important each day. Some days you may feel like you have wasted your time and haven't really done anything. Despite being busy all day, sometimes there is so much to do that you don't even know where to start. So you get confused or too excited and start on everything at once and then struggle to finish anything at all. That sounds like my personality. You need to set your priorities right. Otherwise, you will not be able to utilize the time effectively.
And I definitely try to do that. I try to get up in the morning. I try to say, okay, this needs to be done today. And I try to go after it. But it's always a distraction, or I get so where I don't have the energy and I don't have the motivation to continue on. That is something I deal with all the time. And it's just like I'm looking at this in words, and I'm like, man, this is so me. And I know it's people out there who does the same thing. I know it. There's no way that there's not anybody out there who does that. Okay, it says make a to-do list. Record your tasks according to their importance and urgency. And don't forget to allot the time needed to accomplish each one of them. Stay realistic regarding your abilities to avoid regret and disappoint. Your life is made of these days. Don't let even a single one, man, that is epidemic of insecurity. Don't let anxiety hold you back from living your dreams. And 8 negative attitudes of chronically unhappy people. And all of these have solutions and ways that you can deal with them. It's all about us taking that first step, and it's all about us making a difference. And it's definitely all about us looking at ourselves and saying, okay, I need to fix this. And give me the strength to be able to do that. Having the faith to know that you can do it. Before we go, I would like to invite you back for our next show, which is going to be hopefully tomorrow night on time. I don't have anything I have to do tomorrow, and I pray to God I'll be on time. So what we're going to do here is we're going to shut down shop right now. Again, I thank you guys for listening in to Red Journal Radio Show. I'm hoping you guys are going to have a great day tomorrow. Do something constructive. Quit beating up yourself. Stop the self-defeating talk. Stop comparing yourselves with others. Enjoy your life. Don't worry about no one else's. Enjoy your life, and only you can make the difference in your life. If you think there's a change, only you can make that change. No one else can. So with that, I'm going to say this has been Salita, and this has been the Red Journal Radio Show, and I shall return tomorrow. I want to say, again, thank you for listening in. And I want to say good night. Thank you for listening to the Red Journal Radio. Join us again for more news and information that will stimulate your mind, inspire you to step out your comfort zone.